On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, after a tough loss against the Carolina Hurricanes, we examine the goaltending situation. Shocker, shocker, once again. We will talk about that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On Oilers Podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, after a horrendous 7-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes, it begs the question as to who is the Edmonton Oilers' number one goaltender. We will talk about that in just a second, but also on today's episode, the Oilers go up against the Florida Panthers on Saturday in a matinee, and it looks like we have jumbled lines again. An interesting name draws into the lineup, so we will talk about the Oilers lineup heading into Florida a little later on in today's episode, but also on today's episode, with the new name drawing in, that means a name is coming out, as Kyler Yamamoto is back in Edmonton due to an injury situation. We will talk about Kyler Yamamoto's absence for the Oilers on the last period of today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Where we are going to start off today is the goaltending situation, as the Edmonton Oilers lost bad in Carolina. And I've been a perpetuator of the opinion that, you know what, Jack Campbell at times, yes, he's let in bad goals, but you know what? Most of the time, Jack Campbell has been there for the Oilers. He's made the saves that the Oilers need him to late in games and throughout games to help with the momentum, to help with the Oilers continue to try and win games and keep them in games. Except for the last couple, I would say. Except until probably since the Dallas game, yes, the Tampa Bay game was probably his best game as an Oiler, and we'll give him that one. But the issue came almost when Jack Campbell was told he was going to start a second game in a row. 25 saves against Carolina in a game where he faces 32 shots. Isn't fantastic, especially considering the game before he had 35 saves on 37 shots, 15 saves in the first period, and stopped 12 of 13 against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the third period in a one-goal game in a close game, and in a game where the Oilers needed Jack Campbell to help them win that game. And then, again, Carolina happened. 25 of 32 against Carolina. He saved 23 of 29 shots against at even strength. And that was good enough for a .781 save percentage. That's not good. That's not good, and that's not good enough for a team that's supposed to be a Stanley Cup contender, and that's not good enough for a goaltender that was just signed to a 5x5 deal. The big question is, where did all of this come from? Because I'm going to be honest, Jack Campbell has, again, made the saves that he needs to, but you take a look at the save percentage, not only throughout the season, but over the last couple of games, with the exception of the Tampa Bay game, Jack Campbell's had a save percentage under 900 in every game. Other than, as well, the St. Louis game where he allowed one goal, and one goal that did kind of go through him. You can't really blame him on it, as it was a great shot, but over it went through his glove in that game too. And I think at that time, everybody was going, you know, that's a nice save, or that's a nice shot, blah, blah, blah. Now we've seen a couple in a row go past us, Jack Campbell on his glove. Now we're starting to wonder if that's going to be a perpetual issue. Against the Dallas Stars, 30 of 36 against them, and .833 save percentage. And then against Nashville in the 7-4 win over them, 19 saves on 23 shots, only saved 16 at even strength, and had a save percentage of .826. I want to say that's not sustainable, but the sad thing is it might get worse. Over this season, Jack Campbell has a record of 6-4-0. Not bad again. That I think screams to the fact that he has made saves when he needs to. Six wins is not a pushover at all. But a 4.27 goals against average and a .873 save percentage is awful. Yes, the Edmonton Oilers can score goals. Absolutely. But they're not going to be scoring 5 goals every game, because if your goaltender is going to be allowing 4 in order to win the game, you got to score 5. Jack Campbell, in one breath, is giving the Oilers a chance to win, and in the other, he's not. So, what about the other goaltender in Stuart Skinner? He as well, I'm going to be honest with you, hasn't been playing to the standard I would have expected him to right now. At least the last couple of games. Calgary, he was fantastic against. St. Louis, he was unbelievable in. New Jersey, I think he was good. Had that lapse. Interesting to see for a young goaltender how they respond. And against Washington, tough loss. 26-31 in that one. 26 saves on 31 shots. Although at even strength, 24 saves on 25 shots. That is very good. Because obviously you're going to be playing most of the game at 5-on-5, depending on the officials you have. But 1-for-5 on the penalty kill. That's more on the penalty killers than on Stuart Skinner. But I didn't like the way I saw him move in that game. I thought he was a little too frantic. He slid out of position a little too often. And then all of a sudden, it's a one-timer into the back of the net because you have no chance to save it. A .839 goals against average in that one. His only game so far, at least in the last 4 games, that he hasn't had a save percentage above .900. In the other games against New Jersey, a save percentage of .907, which is his lowest other than the game under .900 there. Against Calgary, a save percentage of .952 when he stopped 40 of 42 against the Flames, and 36 of 37 at even strength. So that's pretty big. And then against St. Louis, probably his best game, I would say. 37 to 38, well, except maybe for that Florida game, or Calgary game, excuse me, which I think he's going to get Florida. 37 to 38 against St. Louis, a .974 save percentage in that one, and 29 to 29 saves at even strength. So take a look at those numbers. You take a look at his season numbers, where yes, he may be 2-3-0, but a 2.62 save percent or goals against average and a save percentage of .928. When you compare that to Campbell's .873 and 4.27 goals against average, it seems pretty clear to me which one is the starting goaltender, because both of them are starting behind the same defense core. Need I say more? Luke Gadzik said something pretty interesting on Hockey Central today before the 5 o'clock game started. And they were talking about Jack Campbell. And I have this Texas Stars jersey over my left shoulder. And Luke Gadzik played with Jack Campbell for a couple seasons down in Texas. And he said something interesting. He said that the Texas Stars had to have numerous behind closed doors meetings with Jack Campbell over the fact that he would consistently go into the media and blame himself for these games. Well, look at what Jack Campbell said just a week ago about his performances, saying, calling it pathetic. Seems to be a theme. Seems to be a theme that I think the Edmonton Oilers need to start getting a handle of. And I think that starts with letting him take some time. Giving him a couple of games to sit back and go, you know what? You realize that you haven't been fantastic. That's okay. That's a part of being a mature hockey player. Sit back, see what's going on. Read the game, and then the next time you come into the crease, you're a different goaltender. And you are the goaltender that the Edmonton Oilers signed for big deal in the offseason. Let's end the chatter relatively with the goaltending situation there. What do you think? Who do you think should be the goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers? Especially considering that Stuart Skinner hasn't really had a couple of games in a row like Jack Campbell has. I don't know. We'll see. Let me know what you think. Let's move on to the Florida game, as the Edmonton Oilers have another matinee, another game in Florida. And this one's going to be interesting as they face old friend of ours, Matthew Tkachuk, when in his first game back from suspension. So he's going to be a little hot-headed, I'm sure. Maybe not, though. Maybe not. Let's talk about the new lines that the Edmonton Oilers are rolling for that game. And we have a surprise in there. Before we get to that, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for your sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer to esports. I'm sure they even have Canadian football out there if you are looking for some CFL lines, as they are into this, the finals of the East and West. There are some fun lines in that one. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find them on Bet Online as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way for getting your betting fix. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. Alrighty, let's move on into the lines for the Edmonton Oilers as they head into Florida. Well, they've always been in Florida, but they are going up against those pesky Florida Panthers, another difficult team to play against here. As mentioned, Matthew Tkachuk is coming off a suspension here. Wonder how he's going to be taking this one. His first game against the Oilers since leaving the Calgary Flames. The Edmonton Oilers are having a little bit of a different look. Obviously are out Evander Kane. Kyler Yamamoto also flying back to Edmonton. We will talk about him a little later on in today's episode. The Oilers have a couple new lines heading into the game in Florida. Let's start off with the first line with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Connor McDavid, and Jesse Puljujärvi staying together there. I think that's fair. Jesse Puljujärvi has done basically everything under the sun other than score so far, so I think that's a good thing to keep them together. Dylan Holloway stays in the top six, skating alongside Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman, as the top six for the Oilers stays in tune. But it's the bottom six with a brand new look and a brand new player looking to make his Oilers debut potentially against the Panthers tomorrow. Warren Fogle lines up next to Ryan McLeod and Klim Kostin. Yes, Klim Kostin getting some time, getting some looks in practice with the third line along with Ryan McLeod and Warren Fogle. I'm excited to see that line. Warren Fogle can skate. Ryan McLeod can obviously skate, and Klim Kostin can very much power skate as well. This is going to be a heavy line for the other team to go up against. And I'm not saying necessarily in regards to physicality. While Fogle will throw his body, maybe not so much McLeod, but he does play with his body relatively well. It's Klim Kostin that does play the most physical of those players, and he has the frame to do so. I'm excited to see what this line might be able to do. A hardworking line, a line that has a lot to prove. Ever since the first couple of games, Ryan McLeod has kind of fallen back more into that bottom six role, maybe not so much in that starring role. Not saying that he is one of the starring players for the Oilers, but is a very important player to the Oilers. And of course, whenever you're not always on the score sheet for the Oilers, everybody goes, oh, what are you doing? But I'm very excited to see what this third line does. That means a fourth line of Matthias Janmark, Devin Shore, and Derek Ryan was skating at practice together. Now, that's interesting to me because the lines for, or the pairings, excuse me, for the defensemen right now have changed as well. And I'll tell you why this is interesting to me. The pairings for the Oilers in practice today: Darnell Nurse with Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak with Evan Bouchard, and Marcus Niemelainen was splitting time with Ryan Murray alongside Tyson Barrie. Now, why is this interesting to me? This is interesting to me because I don't think the Edmonton Oilers want to go into a game without Janmark, Shore, and Ryan. But if the Oilers were going to go into a game without or with those guys and they run 11-7, then I think Klim Kostin would have to be that odd man out. But Klim Kostin's skating on the third line, and I don't imagine they would want to take any reps from any player away from that third line if they weren't going to play. So if the Edmonton Oilers are looking at going 11-7, who comes out? Is it a Ryan? Is it a Shore? Is it a Janmark? Is it Kostin and you push somebody up there? Doesn't make sense to me if you're going to put Kostin on the third line in practice and then take him out unless he didn't do very well in practice. So that means to me the Edmonton Oilers are looking at running a 12-6 system against the Florida Panthers. And that means who's going to be the odd man out? You have the lines. I'm sure this is not going to be too far out of the realm where Nurse, CeCe, Kulak, Bouchard, and Barrie are going to be 5 of the 6 defensemen in that 12-6 system. Who's the sixth? Murray's been playing a little better the last couple of games. You've seen his skating. You've seen his confidence a little bit more. But you see Niemelainen's name in there, and it wouldn't be bad to have a little bit of physicality. He's been playing decently well in his own end, and as well, obviously, been playing on the PK too. I wouldn't mind having Niemelainen over Murray. I don't know so much as to Murray's inconsistency is the right way to put it. Because he is a veteran player. You know what you're getting out of Ryan Murray. But sometimes from game to game, Murray's noticeable in the ways you don't want him to be noticeable. Where when the Edmonton Oilers had a player like Chris Russell, when he was notable, he was notable or noticeable in the ways you didn't expect him to be and in a good way. You're not really getting that with Ryan Murray. You're noticing him in the poor situations. So I would probably put Niemelainen in there. Physical, can skate, not too bad defensively. I'd put him there. And then in the starter's net, Stuart Skinner against the Florida Panthers, as Jack Campbell will likely be the backup. How are we feeling about this? Obviously, the top six stays the same, even though to start off the third period against the, who'd they play last night? The Carolina Hurricanes. There we go. Although to start the third period against the Carolina Hurricanes, the Edmonton Oilers did start Draisaitl, McDavid, and Puljujärvi. They are going to get back to that top six. RNH, McDavid, Puljujärvi, Holloway, Draisaitl, and Hyman. And Holloway had a good game. Probably his best game of the season so far. Well, probably best game of his career, I guess. Got the breakaway, got the penalty shot. Would have been nice to see him convert, but the Oilers ran into a hot goalie in Peter Kochetkov. You can only do so much. You can only do so much. Honestly, as soon as I saw Kochetkov make the play on Hyman on the breakaway, I kind of knew the Oilers' fate was sealed at that point. So I'm not going to blame the forwards in that game. Yes, you should have scored more, but it was a hot goaltender. You can only do so much. Dylan Holloway played well enough to play in that top six again. I would love to see a goal from him just to kind of cement his confidence as well, especially with Kane out and especially with Yamamoto out. Let's talk about Kyler Yamamoto and his season so far. Yes, he hasn't really started off that great, but has he over the last couple of seasons? And really, how much will the Oilers miss him? Let's talk about that in a little, just a second, but just to recap, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins will line up next to Connor McDavid and Jesse Puljujärvi on that first line for the Oilers. Dylan Holloway getting more top 6 minutes along with Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman. Warren Fogle on the third line with Ryan McLeod and Klim Kostin potentially sliding in for his first game as an Edmonton Oiler against the Florida Panthers on that third line, and then the fourth line of Matthias Janmark, Devin Shore, and Derek Ryan. The defensive pairings for the Oilers in practice: Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak with Evan Bouchard, and Marcus Niemelainen splitting time with Ryan Murray as they line up next to Tyson Barrie. Stuart Skinner in the starter's net at practice as Jack Campbell in the backup net. Let's move on to Kyler Yamamoto in just a second, but first, I want to thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen today, as I almost knock my hat off. For your second listen, make sure you check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcasts. Alrighty, let's move on to Kyler Yamamoto in our final period of this week. As yes, it sounds like Kyler Yamamoto has made his way back to Edmonton and is getting evaluated for some injury. Not exactly sure what it is. And not exactly the best news. The Oilers already lost Kane, which is a top six player. And now if they lose Yamamoto, they lose a top nine player. A lot has been made of Kyler Yamamoto's season so far. In 13 games so far, no goals, 3 assists, 3 points, 15 penalty minutes. However, I'm here to tell you that Kyler Yamamoto's season hasn't been all bad, all is bad that everybody talks about so far this year. Because if you've been watching this or listening to this podcast for a little while now, you know that my favorite advanced stat is I'm not a very much that analytical news type person. But I do have a favorite advanced stat, and that is the goals against and goals for per 60 minutes. And that tells you just how effective a player is on the ice. It doesn't only go into, oh, if you're on the ice for a goal, yay, that goes in. It goes into how many goals you're on the ice for, how many goals you chip in for, how many goals you have, how many shots are on the net or against you at a certain time, the quality of those shots. It really factors in a lot of things when it comes to the goals for per 60 minutes and goals against per 60. And when you take a look at Kyler Yamamoto's, it may be a more difficult loss than a lot of people realize. And I'm going to say it again. I've said this a lot since the playoffs last year. When the Edmonton Oilers lost Kyler Yamamoto in the playoffs in Game 4, they lost something to their forecheck that they didn't have. They lost an aspect of their forecheck that the Colorado Avalanche couldn't really find an answer for. And then he wasn't in the lineup, and the forecheck wasn't the same. So far this season, let's take a look at those advanced stats. Goals for per 60 minutes at 5-on-5. Kyler Yamamoto has a 2.77, which is good for 6th on the team. You can imagine who the other players are above him. They're all the regular suspects. Yes, he doesn't have a goal this year. Yes, he may have 3, but he's in the top third of players on the Edmonton Oilers, or top quarter of the Edmonton Oilers, when it comes to producing goals, or at least producing something against the other team. I'm going to stick with the 5-on-5 talk because this is really where Kyler Yamamoto shines. Goals against per 60 minutes. At 5-on-5, Kyler Yamamoto sits at a 1.65 goals against per 60 minutes. That's good enough for 2nd on the team. 2nd only behind Devin Shore. So Devin Shore has played about 95 minutes at 5-on-5, where Kyler Yamamoto has played 189. So really, you can kind of say Kyler Yamamoto is the best at 5-on-5 when it comes to preventing goals. And then when it comes to all situations at preventing goals, Kyler Yamamoto again sits 2nd on the team behind Devin Shore. So basically you can say first place with an even two. He is a more effective player than people love to give him any sort of credit for. And that comes in his own end. You know, it's weird as well. The player who's 3rd in both of those stats at goals against per 60, at 5-on-5, and in all situations, is Evander Kane. So now you lose Evander Kane and Kyler Yamamoto. We don't know how long Yamamoto might be out for. But you lose your 2 most effective forwards at preventing goals on the team. When the Edmonton Oilers' biggest issue is preventing goals. I'm not done when it comes to goals against per 60. As Kyler Yamamoto is a penalty killer, so let's take a look at his penalty killing stats. Oh, wow! He's good at that, too. In fact, he is the best penalty killer when it comes to goals against per 60 minutes on the Edmonton Oilers, not just amongst forwards, but on the team. With a 2.77, the exact same goals for that he has at 5-on-5. A 2.77 goals against per 60 minutes on the 30th best penalty kill in the league. Everybody begs. We're a defensive forward. The Edmonton Oilers need defense somewhere. They're getting it sometimes from their forwards, and their two best forwards at doing so are now injured. So I want a little more respect on Kyler Yamamoto and Evander Kane's name when it comes to preventing goals. Now, the other thing with Kyler Yamamoto that has really been in the news lately, sorry I smacked my microphone there, audio listeners, is Kyler Yamamoto starts to his season. So I looked back in the last couple of seasons as to how he started off his years. In 2021-2022, Kyler Yamamoto through 15 games was 3 goals, 1 assist into his pretty impressive campaign, 4 points in 15 games. And Kyler Yamamoto's 5th goal of the season didn't come until December 1st against the Pittsburgh Penguins. He ended that season with 20 goals. Yes, he was relatively healthy as well in during that season. He did have a couple of injuries throughout the year, but relatively healthy. So we'll see how, depending how long he's out, maybe he can try and get that back. Then in 2020-2021, through 13 games, he had 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points. Pretty decent. That's almost a half a point a game. That's over a half a point. So a lot of people like to say, oh, he's a slow starter, he's a slow starter. Well, in 2020-2021, he wasn't really, as he had over a half a point per game. 21-22, maybe, yes, obviously, he had he didn't get his 5th goal until December 1st. Is there a trend here? I don't think so. I think a lot of people go, oh, he wasn't very good at the start of the year last year, he's not a good starter. I think people tend to forget how Kyler Yamamoto played in 2020 as well. Then I looked back as well at 2019-2020. Just wanted to make sure if he didn't start that season with the Oilers. He didn't. His first game of the season didn't come until January 2nd, 2020 against the Buffalo Sabres. So to recap with Kyler Yamamoto, I think it's going to be a much more difficult time without Kyler Yamamoto than people think. Yes. Not even statistically. On the score sheet, Kyler Yamamoto hasn't shown up much unless you're taking a look at the penalties. When it comes to what he actually does and the important things to the game, the Edmonton Oilers are going to be missing him. He's one of the best forecheckers for the Oilers. Gets, as Jay Woodcroft says, inside the equipment of the other team's players. He's a very difficult player to play against, and the Edmonton Oilers are going to have a tough time without him. We shall see how Klim Kostin does. If he does end up playing, I'm not even promising that he will play, but we shall see. As the Edmonton Oilers go up against the Florida Panthers tomorrow on Saturday in a 2 p.m. matinee. Oh, great, a matinee, I know. That's fantastic. Another matinee. Let's wrap it up right there as the Edmonton Oilers have had a tough week. 4 losses out of the last 5 games. Let's hope next week is even better as once again, the Oilers have another matinee on Saturday against the Panthers, against old friend Matthew Tkachuk. Stuart Skinner looking like he's going to get the start, and the top 6 staying the same. I'm praying, I'm hoping for a Dylan Holloway goal. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. We shall see you again on Monday, but until then, stay safe and play La Bamba, baby.